very thankful and blessed to introduce someone for the first time who's going to be sharing from the Word at Heaven's Invasion. Never, ever done this before. And it's going to be amazing. You know who it is?
Joe
Liscato. Come on down, bro. And just go wherever God leads you, my friend.
There you go.
Oh,
absolutely. No, for him, I have to change it.
How's everybody doing?
It's really tight.
Everybody doing good?
What's with the hearts?
People do that when they're watching.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How are you doing?
A little cold, but doing good.
I don't have it.
My little one. Put a happy face here for me.
Yay!
See it? How about we start and we just talk to the Father?
Good.
All right. Okay. All right. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you because we can get together and just hang out and enjoy each other's company and just, you know, get into the scripture and just have a good time, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, praise Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, for living in us. Thank you for being that well of life.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, my best friend, my helper, my guide, my teacher, thank you. Thank you for your kindness and for your goodness. Thank you because you are the Spirit of Christ. Thank you because you are the Spirit of God. Thank you because God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must do it in spirit and in truth. And thank you because even Paul said, Lord, that the Lord is the Spirit.
Yes.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you because you live in us permanently. And it was all your idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. All right. So, we just took some time to say a few words of prayer. Now we're going to take a few seconds to do what is called mental prayer. We're going to pray here in our minds. Our mouth is not going to move. We're going to say a few words to the Lord in our minds, okay? Ready? All right, here we go. Yes, Lord. Okay. Now we're going to do something else. We're going to take a few seconds of silence where we are not going to pray with verbally or with our hearts or with our minds. We're just going to take a few seconds to be silent and just become aware of the presence of God in us. Okay? The power of God, the presence of God living in us permanently. Okay? And alive and bubbling. So let's just be still and just enjoy that for a few seconds, okay? Isn't that good? We do that exercise with my kids every morning. I say, let's take a few minutes of verbal prayer, vocal prayer, and then let's just be quiet and just enjoy the presence of God and just enjoy Him. Because, you know, He tends to be one of the most ignored persons among Christians especially, because we have this idea that we're going to go through the house of God and we don't realize that we are the house of God.
Yeah.
You know, we say, oh, let's go through, we quote these happy verses from the Old Covenant. Let's go to the house of the Lord. We have forgotten that Paul said to the Corinthians, Don't you know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Amen.
Corinthians were like, huh? Anyway, I'm going to read from Colossians 2 from the Amplified. And it goes a little something like this. For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may be, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly, that mystic secret of God, which is, drum roll, Christ, the Anointed One. Wow. That's beautiful. And that's the all of it. It's to become progressively more intimately acquainted with the one who lives in you permanently, with the one that you have been made one with.
Yes.
Okay? Scripture says in Corinthians, right? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Right? Well, okay. So, our walk is to become intimately acquainted with him, is to know him. Now, we all know that the way to know him is through
the Holy Spirit.
The way to know God is through the common knowledge, is through prayer, right? But we have a concept of prayer, okay, that is us speaking to him, asking for things, and then he responds, and we're happy. Lucky Christians. When the scripture talks about prayer, right, like pray without ceasing, like to pray is, the Greek word is a little bit complicated. It's prosuke. Yeah, that's like prosyo something like kumbaya, okay? So, and it's a word that doesn't really just mean us on our knees by our bedside or us in church with our arms up. It's a word that means, you know, an enjoyment of God, you know. It means talking, singing, praying for somebody else. It's called intercession. Worshiping, you know. It's very broad, you know. And the early church fathers, they understood that prayer was not just what you spoke. Who knows your heart before you open your mouth to speak?
Yeah, right.
Right? God, right? So, he knows what you're going to say before you say it. So, that's a pay to say it. The brother that under persecution got his tongue cut off and can't speak and can't pray out loud. Is he out of luck?
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, we have the benefit of hearing ourselves pray to encourage ourselves, right? And encourage each other so that somebody else can say, yeah, so be it. Amen, right? But prayer is like a diamond, okay? It has many facets, all right? To quote one of my favorite French mystics, Madame Guyon, prayer is nothing but the application of the heart to God. The inner exercise of love.
Wow.
All right? Hold on to your chairs. You know, it's the application of the heart to God. You know? You may not say a word, but he who knows the deepest desires of your heart, okay, he can understand how you express that. There are times that you may go, ah, you just pray like volumes of words.
Yeah.
You know? Because he who knows the mind of the Spirit, right? can understand what the Spirit is giving you to express and what He's expressing through you. So, Russ asked me for how to title this. I had no idea. So, I titled it The Inner Life with God, right? I believe that in the body of Christ there's so much variety. There's so much different talents and a lot of personalities, right? I mean, God gave us all different fingerprints, you know? So He's pretty much into individuality, you know?
Yes.
He's not into cookie cutter stuff, you know? He's like, it's cool if you're different, so that's pretty cool. And because of that, we all have a different way that we connect with God. You know what I mean? We all connect with God differently. Some tend to be more music-oriented, and their way to connect with God is playing an instrument. Jen was playing the flute today at home, and she was, rocking it, and she's, like, all into the Lord and playing her flute. And I was like, wow, that's really cool for her, but I can't do that, you know?
Wait. When is she going to play with us and do work?
I'll arrange an appointment.
Yeah.
So, and then what happens, and then we have other brothers and sisters that connect with God, for example, by reading the scriptures. And they'll sit down with their Bible and they begin to read. And they just get so aware of God's presence and they just like, wow, that's beautiful. And that's so satisfying. It's like, wow, you know? And then you have the other brothers that put that CD in the car, in the house. And they're like, oh yeah, Lord Jesus, I love you. You know? And it's like, great. And then there are people like me.
Oh no.
There are people like me that I could just sit in a chair and just not say a word, and inside there is a hurricane going on with God, and on the outside I'm just like this.
That's great.
You know, and when I first became a Christian, when I was when I was 18, yet in my heart my mother had always put the love of God. She was raised by nuns in South America, and the love of God. And I was like, yeah, you know. But then when I was 18, I was like, yeah, somebody brought me to church. I heard the gospel. I didn't understand what they said, but I knew that if I went to the front and I said a prayer, that I was asking Jesus, and I was like, that's what I want, so that's what I did. But from the beginning in my life, my Christian life, I knew that I had to pray, because everybody knows that you're a Christian, you pray. You know? Yet, I was frustrated with my prayer life. Frustrated. Because I could not get what they were getting. I was like, what's the big deal? I don't get it. He knows what I need. Why do I have to tell him? He knows my heart, why do I have to tell them? And I didn't get it. And I would hear the testimony of, oh, brother, I spent 2.5 hours in prayer this morning. And I'll be like, frustration.
Yeah.
Because we're all different, and we all have different ways of connecting with Father. We all have different ways of living the inner life with God. Mm. It doesn't look the same for everyone. And then we look at each other's way of connecting with God, and how whack they get with what they do, that we get jealous.
Yeah.
And somebody could be looking at Russ, and he's just playing, and he's like, wow. And it's like, man, Lord, I don't get like that when I play, I wish, Lord. And then we try to imitate, and it's not clicking, and we're like, oh, man. The confession party begins,
Yeah.
And then others are like Debbie with the flags, and she's all into it. And people are like, man, and they try to do that, and they're like, I don't feel nothing. But that's a reality, And then others, others do spend on their knees. And they spend 2-3 hours with the Lord, and they're like, and then you try to do that, and you spend the whole time complaining that your knees hurt.
Yes.
And you're like, it's not working for me. You see what I mean? Multifaceted. Prayer is worship, is talking, is listening, is also for our benefit, because when we pray, I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis. He says, "We should get ourselves into the presence of God and remain the rest of our lives there."
Yes.
How do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? If our concept is blah, 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 you can't work. You can't be at work. You can't be a school teacher because you're going to be on no class today. I'm going to spend a whole class praying. You can't do that. So it's got to mean something more than what we think it means.
Right.
And it means that inner life with God. Hmm. That through the years, okay, from the Desert Fathers, the early church fathers, they had a concept of prayer that was beyond just words, beyond vocal prayer. As a matter of fact, they named it vocal prayer because prayer, you know, prayer speaking to God was something different.
Right.
It wasn't the usual. Hmm. What was the usual? It goes by different names. They called it, as they discovered this gold, right? As they discovered that, they begin by either prayer, vocal prayer, or by meditation. In your mind, you're honoring Jesus with your mind, and you're talking to Him, and you're just mental prayer, you're just talking, and you're just hanging out with Him in your mind, you know? As you do that, you have to apply a little discipline, a little effort as you do it. You know, you get a little distracted, and the kids are running around, and you hear noise. But there comes a while. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, it's like you kissing the face of God.
Wow.
When you begin praying, you begin meditating, it's like you're kissing His face. And you're just enjoying Him. You're like, I love you. But things can still distract you. Things still can get in the way. And you know, and things like that. But then suddenly, it's like your heart is overtaken. It's like suddenly effortless. Suddenly it's like you just drop and you're just like, wow. It's like so consumed and so inundated and so... And this preacher says it's like suddenly God swallows your face.
Wow.
You know, and you can do like that anymore because you're in Him and you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like totally immersed in the... Oh,
yes.
Let's make it, let's composure again. So over the years, you know, the early church fathers, the desert fathers, they understood this. Okay, what did Jesus... In the scripture, in the New Testament, you check all the prayers that He said, that Jesus said, right? And the longest one is the one in John.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like he goes, 14, 15, and 16. Like, he goes kind of long. He talks to them. But then he goes in a prayer.
17, yeah.
17?
Yep.
And that prayer takes, I think, 2 minutes. If you read it,
exactly,
it takes 2 minutes. That's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
But then you realize that he would go sometimes and sneak out, you know, in a nice, lonely, quiet place.
Yes.
And just totally be immersed in divinity and immersed in the heart of Father and just immersed in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was the prototype of who we are now.
Amen.
Jesus is the prototype of new creation, the prototype of who you are.
Hmm.
You're a new creation. You're kainos, new creation.
Yeah.
You know? You're not... God didn't remodel you.
No.
When you came to Christ, He didn't remodel you or just upgraded you. He crucified you.
That's right.
He put you on the cross with Christ, and now who you are, you're a hybrid. Hybrid, you know what that is? You're a hybrid. Whatever your name is, put a slash and put Christ next to it. That's who you are. So... Christ just like disappeared and hanging out and just soaking. You know, the modern term for that is soaking.
Mm.
But all the way from the 300s, it was called the prayer of love. Because suddenly, after praying, they found themselves captivated by His love to the point that, effortless, I can't say a word anymore. I'm so overwhelmed by Your love. I'm just going to lean in Your arms and chill.
Yeah.
You know, so they call the prayer of love. Others call it the prayer of quiet. Because it's like God steals your words. And it's now not, it's just heart to heart.
Mm.
No more words, it's just side to side. Deep calling unto deep.
Yes.
Others call it silent prayer. Others called it mental prayer. Others called it prayer of simplicity. Why? Because no more effort. You just like... And the monks from 1600s, 1500s, they would sometimes go to the rooms and just lay in their beds and be like totally absorbed in the presence of God and just like, just be with Him. You know? Prayer of the heart. Prayer of the heart. Some call it interior prayer, like Teresa of Avila. Interior prayer. God put Himself in us for a purpose. When God creates Adam and Eve, He doesn't give them an altar. He doesn't give them a book. He does not build them a temple. He gave Himself to them.
Yes.
To hang out with them in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
You know, familiarity with God. You know, that's what He wanted Adam to have. Now, Adam blew it, but we know that nothing catches God off guard. Nothing surprises Him. You know, we know that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You know, we were predestined to be sons in His image, you know, from the foundation of the world. We were found in Christ before we were lost in Adam. You know, it's like we've always been in Him, you know, but we walked like this until the gospel did this to us. I see, you know. So, Christ restores what we lost in Adam.
Yes.
He restores a walk with God that is beyond words. He put Himself in us. He put Himself in us.
Amen.
You know? And sometimes, you know, we ignore Him. Sometimes we spend our whole time becoming acquainted with Him when we are in situations or places where we are required to express a need or express a prayer. You know? But He put Himself in us, right? So that we may walk always with an awareness of Him. Mm. With an awareness of God. And He wants us to begin practicing His presence. 1600, precious monk, Brother Lawrence. I love this guy.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to read a few things from here. It says here, as Brother Lawrence had found such an advantage in walking in the presence of God, it was natural for him to recommend it earnestly to others. Mm-hmm. But his example was a stronger inducement than any arguments he could propose. His very countenance was edifying, such a sweet and calm devotion appearing in it, as could not but affect the beholders. And it was observed that in the greatest hurry of business in the kitchen, he still preserved his recollection and heavenly mindedness.
Wow.
He was never hasty nor loitering, but did each thing in its season with an even uninterrupted composure and tranquility of spirit. Wow. The time of business, says he, does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clutter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. Wow, it's hard to read this, just, you know, and remain without your legs going wobbly. So, here we go. So what are we talking about? We're talking about an inner life with God that is beyond your words. We're talking about the practice of His presence. We're talking about the contemplative life. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
The life of the contemplative. which is when God swallows your face. And it gets better and better every time it happens. Because you have no control over it. You have no control over it. At first, you pray and you immerse yourself in His love and you have Him in your mind and you begin to center. And you know when you're busy and your day is kind of crowded and you didn't sleep good and you get up in the morning and you haven't had your coffee and you're like, argh. But you know you wanna set your day straight, right? Yeah. So you're like, oh Lord, help me, Lord. You know, but we're like kind of stressed out. Okay, take that moment. And recite your favorite. This is what I do, okay? For different people, you could do different things. What I do is I tend to go in my kitchen, okay? Lean on the counter. And I just begin to think. And I say, my Father. Oh, thank you, my Father. I love you. I know you loved me first. Thank you. Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, my brother. My Savior, wow, God incarnate, Holy Spirit, oh, my friend, I love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you because you live. Thank you, Lord. Then I open my eyes, and I'm centered. I am calm. I'm aware. Suddenly I'm aware, wow. That same one that was hovering upon the waters of creation, He lives in me. He doesn't leave. Okay? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what does that mean? Permanent dwelling. He's just here. And when you acknowledge His presence in you, it's like He's like, good morning! You know, He's like that. He's got like this pep, you know. He's like, good morning, how you doing, you know? But He's the same one that at night can say, go to sleep, my son.
Yeah.
You know? And then what happens? That gets your day going. You know? And then I go on my day, and in my mind, I'm constantly flirting with God. You know, I'm constantly, you know, it's like, you know, but I'm not an external guy, so it's all in here. It's all happening in here. You know, and then here I'm like, you know, I'm like, I love you. Thank you. I love you. And my whole day is spent like that. When I started doing this, when I started practicing His presence, it was kind of like an effort, you know. And then I had good days, and when I would begin, and then He would just take my heart and just like hold me in His arms, you know, like that feeling. And you're just like a baby, like, and you're just riding, His arms because He's just asking, you know what I mean? And there are days that it's difficult. There are days that nothing works, you know? So we think. There are days that He says, show me your face. He doesn't leave. Just stay silent for a little bit. You know? Him, who likes to talk a lot, you know? Yeah. He's like, show me your face. You're like, oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, thank you. You're like, you feel like nothing is clicking. And you're like, and then suddenly He's like, oh. And then there are times that you get up in the morning and you don't have to say anything. You're laying in bed and it's like He's all over you, you know? And you're just like, oh. You know, it's like the young guy who gets kissed by a girl, and he's like, oh, you know, that kind of, you know what I mean? You kind of like that goofy thing going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so this is something. I mean, I cannot find better words. It's something delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, it is something delicious. You know, like I said, I'm not a very expressive, but I'm about to get expressive now. Oh boy. There are times that you get so overwhelmed by this love.
Yeah.
I'm on TV, you should be doing this.
Press
okay.
Right?
So, anyway, so there are times that His love just conquers you and it just overwhelms you. And You can't escape it. You know, in the world of contemplatives, you know, you have the passive contemplative and the active contemplative, you know. And many times, Mary and Martha are used as examples, you know. The active contemplative is the one that's like, your heart is overwhelmed by God and your heart is conquered by God, but yet you could perform and do everything you need to do. You know, your mind is invaded by Him. And it's like He just kidnaps your mind and puts His thoughts. And if you wanted to think about something else, you can't. He just took over, you know, and it's great. And there are times that the passive contemplative, you're just like at His feet, you know, and you're just like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to move from here, you know. My arms feel heavy, you know. I stand up and my legs feel wobbly. God, I'm so overwhelmed by Your love. I don't know what to do. And He's like, just don't do nothing. You know, why must You do something, you know? There's the idea that we have to do something, you know, like, wow. Or, oh, no, it's just enjoy Him, you know, enjoy Him. The same way when God created Adam and Eve, Adam, you know, and gave Himself to them, He also put them in a garden called Eden. And Eden means pleasure.
Yes.
You know, it means pleasure. So wait a minute. He creates Adam and Eve. He does not give them an altar. Does not give them a book of rules. Does not build a temple for them. And puts them in a place called pleasure. And Christ has restored all things. So now we are His temple. He lives in us permanently. And now Eden lives permanently in us.
Yes.
Why? Because Christ is God incarnate. He incarnated and became one of us so that we can fall in love with God by looking at the face of another human. Because when I look at any one of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? And Christ came to, like it says in Hebrews, right? It says, in olden times, I'm paraphrasing, this is the Joy translation. In olden times, God spoke through the prophets and all the other people, right? But I love God's buts here. But in these last days, right? He has spoken to us through His Son.
Amen.
Who is the image, right? The image, the expression of His glory.
Mm.
Wow. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He lives in us. We have inside that everlasting fountain of living water, that everlasting fountain of life. That's why when you put your hands on somebody, what can't happen?
Mm-hmm.
Something has to happen.
Yes.
Right? Something has to happen. Our goal should be to walk with God in that amazing awareness of His presence. You know, 24/7, all the time. And at first it's a little hard. You have to kind of get a little discipline at first. You know? I started walking with the Lord, and I'm trying to pray like everybody else, and it's not clicking. There were times that I would say, I'm not going to church tonight. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to pray in my house. And I would stay, and I would try to engage, and it wasn't working. Too much effort on my part. You know? Too much effort. You know? And then, slowly, I had little glimpses of what He was calling me in my prayer life, to enjoy the contemplative journey, the journey of practicing His presence, the journey of living with Him every step, every moment. Glimpses I had. I was like, oh, that was nice. That was nice, you know? And sometimes I would just propose in me, I was like, you know what, today I'm just going to spend the whole day praying in my mind. And I would try to do that. It would get tiring sometimes because it was based on my own effort to get it working, to get it going.
Right.
You know, and then I would be like, oh, wow, that's a lot of effort. Or, oh, we've got a headache for the whole day. You know? But then what happens? You know, he's so good, you know? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's like he takes care of that, those things, you know? We just have to just surrender to the journey, you know? And just, like, enjoy him, you know? And then what happens is that suddenly I begin to realize, I come across the writings from Brother Lawrence, Madame Guyon, you know, Teresa of Avila, and they were experiencing that inner life with God, you know, that was effortless, but it was a life of just walking in constant awareness of Christ in us, the hope of glory, in constant awareness of His glory in us, you know. And what happens is that you get so used to it that moments where you're not engaging with Him become moments that grab your attention.
Yeah, right.
The opposite, you know. At first, it's like, oh, Lord, I forgot you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I forgot you. And then it turns into, oh, hey, we haven't been talking for a few minutes there. Oh, wait, I got distracted watching this. And, oh, I love you. You just engage him in love and flirt with him. You know, he likes that, by the way, you know. Read Song of Solomon and get an idea, you know. Song of Solomon 1:1, I think, is like, what did it say? Oh, you make me drunk with your kisses. For your sweet loving is better than life. Okay, that's a lot of love talk, you know. That's one time I was attempting to worship the Lord, you know, in a more common way. And he's just like, Joe, relax. Just relax. I'm like, Lord, the people got this thing going, and, you know, I'm pretty bland, you know, and no jumpy, no hands up, nothing. I'm just like very neutral. I'd rather just sit down and enjoy you, you know, and just, you know when you're in a long car ride with somebody that you like, you know, and you're just happy being with them in the car. You don't have to be blah, 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 blah. You could just be in the car driving, just like, you know, just enjoying their company, right? You know, or you're watching a soccer game. I like soccer. You know, with somebody, and you're just sitting next to them, and you're like, you're watching the game, but you're like participating with that person in your heart without saying a word.
Yeah.
You know, or when I'm sitting watching a movie with my wife, you know, I love you, my love. You know, watching a movie with my wife, and we're just like watching the movie and like holding hands while she's sitting and her legs are on top of me, or her head is on next to my side. We have that contact. We're not saying a word to each other. We're not saying anything. But we're just enjoying each other's company.
Right.
You know, we're aware of each other's presence.
Hmm.
You know? Now, the Holy Spirit is in us for that.
Hmm.
For us just to be aware of His presence 24/7 all the time. To enjoy Him. To enjoy an inner life with God. Before your life can be external. Now, this is my opinion. This is my journey. You know, this is my walk. But I feel like before my life could be external, it first needs to develop internally. You know, internally first. You know, it's like Jesus, it's like He's in us. It's like we're that boat, and He's in us. You know, and when storms come, you know, it's like the inner life. You know, Lord, there's a storm. It's okay, peace be still. You know? Am I running out of time?
I don't know, are you?
I don't know. I tend to talk a lot sometimes. Let me see here. So, I wanted to do like an activation.
Cool.
Okay. And I understand that everybody's different. Okay. And at the same time, you're all powerful. You know? You're all powerful to disagree with what I'm saying and be fine, you know. You're all powerful and honorable because you are children of God, you know, and you carry Him in you, you know. And you're all powerful to disagree with me, You're all powerful to continue enjoying your own journey of walking with God, your own life of prayer, your own inner life, you know. But I just wanted to share this with you because although sometimes when we are congregated with others, other believers, like I did pray out loud. I did, but I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't satisfied inside until he's like, relax. I'm in you always. Just notice me. Don't ignore me. You know, don't let the whole day go by. You know, just notice me. Talk to me. Can you imagine if you have somebody coming over your house, a friend, you know, and they come and you don't talk to them?
Yeah.
And they're like, hello? You know, and you get up in the morning and like, hey, good morning, how you doing? Everything is good. Here's a coffee, here's some bread. Hey, take care, man. And you just do your business. And they're like, hello. And then you come home and they're looking at you and you come home and you make your meal and you're like, hey, how's it going? Do whatever you gotta do. You know, and then you go to bed. And before you go to bed, you sit in your bed and you're like, hey, Charlie, come here. How you doing? How's everything? Oh, by the way, listen, I had a tough day. So-and-so needs a job. Such-and-such needs help. You know, so-and-so needs healing. You know, I love you. Good night. And sometimes that's how we treat the Lord. You know, he's that friend, you know. Instead of like the example that I share with my son Matthew, is like, you know, allow yourself to be a baby that's sitting in a baby seat. And the Lord is pedaling the bike. He's like turning around, you're right? And you're like, yeah, you're sitting in the back. And the baby seat just like this, like, yeah, Lord, I'm enjoying this ride with you. You know, and he's there pedaling. He's doing all the work, you know, because it's effortless. You know, it just takes surrendering. You know, surrendering. Don't let nothing own you. You know, don't let nothing own you. Let Christ own you. Let his spirit totally own you and possess you. And you just like, you know, just like surrender. You know, like somebody comes with a gun and says, arms up. You know, like, the same thing with him. Just like, hey, you know, just point at me with your love. And I'm just like surrendering completely, you know. Just enjoy that inner life. So I began with this kind of activation, just so that we all can see where we are, you know. Now I'm going to close with a similar activation. Now that those of you that have received these words that I have spoken, and those who desire to begin that life, to begin the life of the practice of his presence, to begin that life of walking with him in complete awareness of him living in you, you know, we're going to do the same. So you don't have to stay. Just sit down, but get comfortable. Okay? Don't get uptight. Just relax. Put your feet in front of you. Just like Ross. Like that. Just chill out. Completely chill out. There you go. Just relax. Don't be uptight, because he's not uptight. Religion has made us uptight. Religion likes to put rules and regulations on how to behave, on what to say, on how to say it. Just relax. Just relax and enjoy him. Okay? Enjoy him. Christ, the incarnation of the eternal God, came to dwell in us. Okay? He is the convergence of heaven and earth. And he lives in you. So out of your belly you have creation. Out of your belly you have living water. Out of your belly you have Eden. Pleasure. His love. His satisfying or an overwhelming love. So, I'm going to say a few words of just vocal prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you because we have you. And we always, Lord, can trust you. Thank you because you are wonderful. You are good. Thank you because you came after Adam and he hid. You didn't hide from him. And Lord, thank you because we are the redeemed of the Lord. Thank you because you live in us. And you love us so much, and we love you back. Thank you, because you're beautiful. You're precious. You are delicious. You are overwhelming, burning fire that just quenches our thirst, Lord. And we live in a beautiful paradox that while we may be chock full of God, we are not satisfied with how much of that God we manifest, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Okay. Now, I'm going to take a few seconds just to be aware of his presence. Okay? Just be aware. And you know, when you start a fire, right? Those of you who have fireplaces, to start a fire, you first have to put some work in, right? You put the logs, and you put the, you start it up, and you got to be, sometimes you got to be blowing, blowing. But once you get the fire going and ignite it, you don't keep on blowing out. You just gently blow it just to keep it going. Gently, gently. And you sit back and you observe. And if the flame begins to go down a little bit, you just gently. It's the same thing with the Lord. At first, we may need to, because the worries of life, we may need to focus a lot. And we may need to pray out loud in our mind to drown other thoughts and distractions. But once we have that fire starting to conquer your heart, and you just sit back and just like gently, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. I love you. You love me first. Gently blow and keep the embers lit. Okay, so we're going to take now just a few seconds just to become aware of his presence. And here we are in church. We're hearing about him, so we're pretty much centered in his presence. But when you're somewhere else and your co-workers are driving you crazy, or the kids are driving you crazy, or whatever's happening and your mind is busy, pick your favorite scripture. I love Galatians 2:20, and I do that sometimes. And I just take a deep breath and I just go, I've been crucified with Christ. And yet I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just do that. Just quote, recite your favorite scripture. And just like, throw yourself into his arms and do it so vividly that you can smell his smell of his neck, and that you can feel his arms around you, and that you can just put your hand on your head on his chest. And if you're sad at that moment, you just sigh and give him that sadness. And if you're happy at that moment, just like get drunk in his arms and in his love. And if at that moment you're sick, you just throw yourself in his arms and just, Lord Jesus, thank you because your life heals me. All right, so I keep on talking. Okay, so let's just do this, okay? Let's just do this. I'm going to use Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, we have God is a strong refuge. He's truly our helper in times of trouble. For this reason, we do not fear when the earth shakes and the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea, when its waves crash and foam and the mountains shake before the surging sea. The river's channels bring joy to the city of God, the special holy dwelling place of the Sovereign One. God lives within it. It cannot be moved. He lives in you. You cannot be moved. God rescues it at the break of dawn. And then it goes down. It says, 46:7, the Lord who commands armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our protector. 46:8, come witness the exploits of the Lord. And it goes down to verse 10, and he says, Be still and know that I am God. So we're going to use that verse as a way to center our heart in His peace. Because the Prince of Peace lives in us. He is our peace. So let's pray this together. Just repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Become aware of the Spirit of God living in you. Become aware of His everlasting love for you. Become aware that you were loved before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Prince of Peace. Thank you. All right. That was good.